Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.
Welcome aboard the Athletic's Can't Wait Jets podcast, your nonstop shop for all things Jets with Tim McMaster, Zach Rosenblatt, and Marissa Dunn.
Can't wait!
I think this is our first emergency podcast of the offseason, which is crazy in Jets land.
On the alarm.
Like, yeah. Sirens, flashing lights, let's get it going. But we are ready to go because the Jets have granted Elijah Moore his wish 5 months later. They have traded Elijah Moore. He's headed to the Cleveland Browns. They move up in the draft with that trade. They also signed a receiver to add to that stable as well, and Mecole Hardman. We're going to talk about all of that, the latest on Aaron Rodgers as well. Thanks for joining us here on the Can't Wait podcast. I'm Tim McMaster. We also have our Jets reporter at The Athletic, Zach Rosenblatt, and Marissa Dunn. As always, I was going to say, like, we waste time like we usually do, but I think we can get
I feel like we made this happen because we did the thing where we, like, you know, plan for the podcast on a certain day and then something happens and we have to adjust.
We said like the end of next week.
Yeah.
Like, we
which obviously was better. In retrospect was a dumb idea. Let's be honest.
Yeah, we should have known better.
That's a long time in free agency timelines to like nothing to happen. So
especially
wasn't our best
Jets,
moment.
Jets free agency.
Like, yeah, we'll be fine. We'll wait till the end of owners meetings.
Yeah.
We were lulled into a sense of confidence because of like the darkness, talk of the darkness and drawn out trade negotiations and all that stuff.
Well, after the Mecole signing happened, we were like, all right, so maybe if there's, I even text you guys, I'm like, maybe if there's like another signing or two, we can do a pod in the next day or two. And then like minutes later, of course,
you literally, like, I was looking at my text and I think I hadn't seen the first
text about Cleveland,
and I got the second one. That's how
I was on a meeting and I saw it come across my phone. I'm like, oh my gosh, I guess we're doing a pod tonight.
It's almost like they were like, okay, we got Hardman, you know, eject on Elijah. Yeah. Like they had the whole thing set up and then they go. So, all right, let's talk about the trade first, because I think that's a little juicier than Mecole Hardman. Nothing against him, seems like a talented player, and we'll get into that. But Elijah Moore, you know, he was the 34th pick 2 years ago. Rookie year, showed great promise, had that amazing stretch before he got injured where he looked like he was going to be a legit potential star in the NFL. Year two, serious regression for a lot of reasons. I mean, obviously the quarterback, but off the field, the frustration with the quarterback, getting sat down for a game, all of that mess, demanding the trade, and now he heads to the Browns. So the Jets basically, they move up from 74, that's the pick that goes to the Browns with Moore, up to number 42 in the second round. So they'll have a first rounder, two second rounders now in this draft. Jeff Howe graded the Jets a B-, the Browns an A on this trade. From what I've seen, most people have said, like, this was great for the Browns and good for the Jets. What do you think, Zach?
Yeah, you know, it's – I think ultimately you look at, you know, the value they got here from Moore, and I think they went from the 70s to the 40s. So you jumped 30 picks, you jumped around, and the cost was Elijah. And so I imagine jumping from that point in third round to that point in second round, I think that makes Elijah like a third round value, which is probably fair. So I think they got fair value.
Which is fair now, right? But not when you think of the fact that he was taken.
Well, yeah, it's kind of like once the car leaves the lot, the value goes down kind of deal. And there's a lot of perspectives and angles to this, and I'm sure we'll cover all of them. But, you know, we kind of talked about this a little before the pod. I think, you know, there's a lot to get into with the Rodgers stuff and you know, what they do at receiver now and Beckham and all that stuff. But one of my first thoughts I had and was that it's hard to view this as anything other than a failed draft pick by Joe Douglas. I don't know if I've necessarily seen that reaction yet, but I think it's a fair reaction to have because, you know, you look at his numbers, I don't have them in front of me, but, you know, he didn't get the ball much this last year. And I know it wasn't entirely his fault. And, you know, he asked for a trade and he was benched and Zach Wilson wasn't really getting anybody the ball besides Garrett Wilson, really. But, you know, 984 yards in 27 games, one touchdown last year. They got rid of him after 2 years, essentially just to move up in the draft. Like that, he was an early second round pick, and I think you have to take it as a loss on Joe Douglas's draft resume. And you know it. I think that the talent is obviously there. You saw that stretch in his rookie year where Elijah Moore looked like an absolute stud. You know, he had like 400 something yards in six games or whatever it was, with four touchdowns, I believe. Then he got hurt. But the talent was clearly there. But I think it's another case of, I think between the 2020 and 2021 drafts, there was a pretty clear disconnect between who they were drafting and what the coaches wanted. It was different. Those are two different coaching staffs, obviously, 2020 and 2021. And you know, who Adam Gase wanted to fit in his system is going to be different than who Robert Saleh and LaFleur wanted. But clearly the coaches weren't as high on Elijah Moore as maybe they let on publicly, because otherwise he either would have played more this last year and or got the ball more, or they would have used him faster his rookie year. Like, there's a lot of factors to this. I think ultimately it was, you know, a failure to a degree. And I think Joe Douglas did a good job of scrounging the value he could before it was too late, kind of thing. So in that sense, like, I think the best GMs are willing to move on from their mistakes in a lot of ways faster. Like you saw, I think the Giants are, with Kadarius Toney, is kind of that's like an even worse example of it, because he just like wasn't playing at all for the Giants because he was always hurt, and he was able to get a third round pick out of it, and they turned around, and that third round pick became Darren Waller. So now, you know, which I'm sure is the next topic, is what they do with these picks that they got and what this means for the Rodgers stuff. But I think at the end of the day, you have to call it ultimately a bad pick in retrospect. At the time, I think it was a sound pick. I think Elijah Moore was pretty highly regarded coming out of that draft. I think he was viewed as a first-round talent by a lot of people, and I still think he has first-round talent. Personality-wise, scheme-wise, whatever it is, he didn't wind up fitting in New York, but he'll get an opportunity in Cleveland. I'm curious to see where – you know, he'll probably plug right in as their slot receiver because they have Amari Cooper and Donovan Peoples-Jones. They'll throw the ball a lot to Deshaun Watson. He'll have a chance to prove he's as good as I think he thinks he is, because I think he carried himself like he was already a star, which is probably a little premature.
Thinking back to the draft too, like that was a loaded receiver draft, right, that year. And I remember the Jets considered him like a first round pick, because going into the second round, if I remember correctly, there was a lot of thought that like the Jets, good chance they would trade back with that 34th pick. And then they stood there and they took Moore, and they were very, and I remember all the talk was, but then you fast forward to that first training camp. And I remember there being a lot of talk about like, you know what, Elijah Moore is the best player on the field.
Yeah.
At this training camp. And then he impressed you in last summer, yeah, as well. So it seems like the, you know, the skill set was always there. He flashed. It was just, maybe it just, the headache was too much for this team to continue to try to develop him and bring that talent out.
Totally. And on one hand, you know, I imagine, you know, clearly there's some immaturity there, which, you know, he's a young kid. And I think there were some immaturity questions coming out of Ole Miss. I don't think he's a bad kid by any stretch. I don't think it should be twisted as they got rid of like a locker room cancer or anything like, right, that. He was, yeah, well liked in that locker room. Yeah. No, I'm not saying you were. I've, yeah, seen like fans like reacting in that way a little bit. This isn't a guy who's gotten arrested or gotten in trouble off the field. You know, if you saw, he got pretty much welcomed back in, even if some guys were like maybe like subtly taking shots at him after the trade request. Once he came back in, there was never a problem again. So I think he had a lot of fans in the locker room. I think you saw Garrett Wilson tweeted like a sad emoji when Elijah was traded. So he was by no means a bad kid. I think the coaching staff liked him. He didn't get along with Mike LaFleur, obviously, as I reported. And he
said some bad words to Mike LaFleur.
That's bad words that will get you in the timeout. And he was pretty openly not a fan of Zach Wilson as well, and whereas he loved Mike White and all that stuff. Talent was there. Didn't work out. They move on, fight another day, and they might have a pretty big name coming in at some point to replace him. So I think Jets fans will move on pretty quick.
Yeah, we're going to get to that and what they do with that pick. But let's check in on the other move today first.
Yeah.
They signed Mecole Hardman, 2019 second round pick with the Chiefs, obviously a part of that offense with Patrick Mahomes. 1 year up to $6.5 million. You look at the numbers, 2022 was shortened, but he had 25 catches, 297 yards. but he missed the last nine games and the playoffs with an injury, a core injury. So, you know, he was on pace to have a pretty nice season considering the other weapons that are in that offense, I think. But what kind of receiver is he, Zach? You know, speed is the one thing that I see everywhere.
Yeah. I mean, even if you don't watch the Chiefs, I think Hardman is like, he was so fast at the, he had ran a 4.33, I think, at the combine coming out of Georgia. Like, I think people who don't even follow the Chiefs know the first thing they think of is Mecole Hardman fast. I think maybe the misconception there is that means, okay, they just added like a deep threat. But I think if you look at least the way the Chiefs used him, which, you know, could be different, how the Jets might use him, but although maybe not, because, you know, they like the 49ers type scheme and he might have some Debo to him. Anyway, he's second among all receivers since 2019 in yards after the catch average behind Debo, over 8 yards after the catch. So a lot of the way that the Chiefs used him was getting him the ball, you know, behind the line of scrimmage in short and letting him use his speed to get down the field and get some yards. I think he only has 4 touchdowns on passes that traveled over 20 yards in the air, and 3 of them came his rookie year. So you're getting a guy, I view him as like, not necessarily the replacement for Elijah. I view him more as the replacement, like a rich man's Braxton Berrios in my mind. I think he's faster, more athletic, more dynamic. You know, he on those end arounds, he scored 2 rushing touchdowns last year for the Chiefs. So I think he'll be a much more dynamic threat. I think a lot of Jets fans were calling for Elijah Moore to be the guy to replace Braxton on those, but I think you replace him with Mecole. He was a Pro Bowler as a returner, as a rookie, scored a kick return touchdown that year. He scored a punt return touchdown the next year. So you're getting an upgrade at returner, because I don't think Berrios had a very good year last year. So yeah, that's where I view it. They didn't pay a lot of money. He's young. He's a guy that, you know, if he's healthy and, you know, he'll have opportunities to make an impact in an offense that should be pretty explosive. Like it's a smart signing, but once they did sign him, you did feel like the writing was on the wall for Elijah. I wasn't sure it would happen that quickly. Clearly they had that lined up and like, that's why, all right, we got Mecole now. Let's go make this trade official. So, you know, they move on from him and there's a lot more up in the air. And, you know, beyond the Odell stuff, which we'll get into, there's still like the Randall Cobb thing. Like there's still like an assumption that they're going to bring him in at some point. They brought in Alan Lazard. You have Garrett Wilson coming back. Corey Davis still technically on the roster. Denzel Mims still on the roster. So when Elijah was still there, I tweeted, like, I can't imagine many teams have better depth of talent at receiver than this team does. Even after Moore's gone, I still believe that. But Mecole he's an interesting player. I liked him coming out of college. He's very fast, and I'm curious to see if Nathaniel Hackett uses him like the Chiefs did, or if he's used more as like an outside, you know, deep threat type guy like he was in college.
It's interesting you think of the, you know, the slot factor and the outside. When I think of the West Coast offense, the LaFleur offense, specifically that Niners version, you think of guys that can be moved around in all places like that, which I guess Hackett likes to do as well. So you have now, when you think about these main 3 guys right now, they can all play in the slot.
Yep.
Lazard, Wilson, and Hardman, and they can all play outside. So it gives you so many options to confuse a defense.
Totally. Yeah. I think that's one of my bigger takeaways, is that they're adding these, like, I think Corey Davis could play as a big slot sometimes, I think, but Alan Lazard has had way more success doing that in his career with the Packers. He's 6'5", and so that's a very interesting mismatch in the slot. Garrett Wilson, you know, you can line him up anywhere and he can juke out anybody who's covering him. And then now you add Mecole Hardman, who's the fastest guy found on the team, at least on the offense, like the moment he steps in the building. He is coming off, as you mentioned, the injury. I think he had a surgery in January. I imagine he probably wouldn't be ready for OTAs. That's not like a report or anything. That's just my guess, which isn't ideal, but, you know, speed you can make work no matter if you know the scheme or not, honestly. So, but yeah, I'm highly intrigued at how they deploy these receivers. Who are the guys they put out there in 11 personnel? And yeah, it's a very talented receiver room. And, you know, I imagine Rodgers is happy with these moves. You know, I don't know what he felt about Elijah Moore, but I think if he's going to look at the supporting cast and see that the Jets are like making an effort to like put a good supporting cast around him. I know that was a big sticking point for him over the years in Green Bay. Although they did add one of his, he did want them to bring in a bunch of the Green Bay targets, which there's some irony there that he's always complaining about the targets. And then, I don't know. The Hardman signing, like I saw it and I'm like, oh, that's interesting. I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think there's a lot of the best teams just have a lot of guys who are very fast. and you just make it work with that. And Breece Hall, when he's healthy, is very explosive and fast. And I think they have potential to have a very explosive offense, which they did not have last year.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, let's move on to the other receiver that you've talked about, and that is Odell Beckham Jr. And it feels like the smoke's not going away, right? Like, we heard the rumors, and they just continue to be out there. They're not going away. And I asked you before we started, what do you think? And Zach, you said you think it's happening.
Yeah, there was a stretch there where I wasn't sure if that was like free agency, especially with the Jets. You always hear about them as like they were in on insert player before he signed with insert team, and so you never
the
know
the best way for a front office to seem like on top of things,
which I was new to that being a thing until I saw it like with the Orlando Brown thing and
Fletcher Cox
and I'm like, man, they're really like runner-ups a lot. And then I saw that, you know, a lot of Jets fans were like tweeting about how look at the offseason Super Bowl champions or whatever, but by all accounts, the Odell thing is real. I've heard that both from people in the building and people around the league who and people close to Odell, that he's legit interested in playing with Aaron Rodgers. I think that's the biggest drawing point. Even beyond returning to New York, to a degree, it would be so weird to me if Odell Beckham is back in New York and he's not playing for the Giants. Like, that's just a wild thought. Like, who would have ever thought he'd come back and be playing for the opposite team in New York? And you know, it would kill John Mara and the Giants ownership if Odell comes in and like just lights things up like he used to and stuff like that. And you know, Woody is very appealing to him. But I think more than anything, Odell is interested in playing with Aaron Rodgers. And that's why initially my takeaway with the Mecole Hardman thing was, okay, Elijah's on the way. I don't think Mecole was as tied to Elijah as their pursuit of Odell. I think you look at it, Alan Lazard's going to slot in for Corey Davis. He's probably like a slight upgrade there. Mecole Hardman's going to slot in for Braxton Berrios, slight upgrade. And then Odell Beckham, I think, slots in for Elijah Moore. And I think you could argue those are upgrades at all three spots. And then you have Garrett Wilson getting better in year two. So if they do reel in Odell Beckham, which is, you know, arguably the biggest fish remaining in free agency right now, whatever you think about him and the injuries and, you know, the maturity or whatever, talent wise, he's unquestionably, you know, a very good player when he's healthy, which is not always happening. But you add Odell Beckham to Garrett Wilson and Alan Lazard, and I can't imagine there's very many three or four sums of receivers in the NFL that are more talented than that group.
It's interesting that Hardman, because he has to know, right, like that there's this possibility,
yeah,
would choose a place where there's a good chance he becomes the number four option.
Yeah. And I also imagine, you know, Odell's.
But it is a 1 year deal, I guess.
Yeah, so. It's a 1 year deal. It's kind of a prove it for him after the year of injuries he had. But he might see it as, and he smartly, you know, number one, Odell's not there yet. So until he is, like, I'm the third receiver. Number two, catching pass from Aaron Rodgers has never been a bad thing for a wide receiver, unless he doesn't like you, I guess. But and number three, even if Odell is here, injury history, so there's a very good chance he's going to wind up playing a lot anyway. So
receivers in general, right? Like, yeah, receivers get hurt.
Yeah. I mean, even if you look at like Hackett's history, I think he's been pretty good with receivers even in Denver. Jerry Jeudy was pretty good. He had a stretch where he got hurt, but he came back and he was playing really well at the end of the year. Cortland Sutton's a guy that played pretty well last year, I think. So it's an offense and an environment that is conducive to receivers playing well. And he got a 1 year deal, and he's young, and if he has a good year, he could go and make a good amount of money next year, or the Jets can bring him back. So I think, you know, I don't know if he was going to get much more of an opportunity than the Jets are giving him, because of like his circumstances.
It is interesting. You know, you mentioned the 1 year. When you think of like the way that this Jets team was operating before this offseason, where it was, you're bringing in all this young talent, continuing to create all this cap room until obviously they had to deal with this. But like, it always seemed like it was, all right, we're building this thing for the long term, for the long term. And then this offseason, you bring in, you know, a Hall of Fame quarterback who's probably at the most going to play two more seasons. Odell Beckham Jr., who knows what's left in the tank there. Hardman comes in on a one-year deal. Suddenly everything is like, we are all in on this year.
I was actually thinking about it recently. Like, I can't imagine there's been many teams that in any sport, like somebody would have to be very good at research to figure this out. But like, how many sports teams have gone 10 or more years without making the playoffs, and then the next year were a contender? Like, I can't imagine that's happened in sports. For I'm sure it's happened. And yeah, I don't know. That aspect of what you're talking about, how they're like, you know, they go from slowly building. Okay, we're all in all of a sudden. But that's what happens. The NFL is like that. If you get the quarterback, then you go all in. You even saw that with like the Browns. They go and get Deshaun Watson, and they decide, you know, they're going to spend a lot of money. I think they spent a lot of money in free agency and trades. They traded for Amari Cooper and all that stuff last year. So when you have the quarterback you think can do, especially a guy who's 39 years old at the end of his career, you can't really waste any time. And I know fans have been impatient that the Jets haven't really done much this offseason. Somebody tweeted out like a list of all the free agents that are still available. There's still a lot of good players still out there. Still a lot of guys you could trade for. Aaron Rodgers, at the end of the day, I think Jets fans will be happy with what happens this offseason, or they'll at least be intrigued by it, because, you know, mileage may vary on Odell Beckham and even Rodgers, but it's hard to argue. And if you have an offseason where you walk away and Aaron Rodgers is your new quarterback and Odell Beckham's your number two wide receiver, I think most Jets fans would take that if you had said that before the offseason started. However they get there, it doesn't really matter. And if at the end of the day, that's the result of this offseason, it'd be hard to argue that Joe Douglas didn't do everything he could to improve this team.
I feel like if you told us that in December, we
would. Oh yeah, it would have been wild. What? Yeah.
Wait, who?
Yeah, no.
I mean, it's gonna be a nice old circus show around here. Can't wait. Gonna be a lot of stuff to talk about.
Last episode of Can't Wait, we were joking about Hard Knocks. Now throw OBJ into that.
My God, great point. And who knows? Who else? What else? Because I think once you get Rodgers in the building, and even Odell, who for all the criticism he gets from the media, he's very popular among players, I think. So you wonder who comes in after that. You know, if they still might go after Ben Jones, the center from the Titans.
The chat is dying for me to ask about Ben Jones.
So because the Jets won it all and they won it now. I don't
know. There's like six consecutive comments about Ben Jones.
Really?
That guy is very popular right now.
I've been getting a lot about Ben Jones and about Quan Alexander. Quan.
I appreciate the love for the offensive line. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they know a way to my heart. Like, you know, I gotta ask the O-line question.
The best is when they don't ask the question straight, but they say, Marissa, ask about Ben Jones.
You're the go-between. Yeah.
Yeah. I got you guys.
Yeah, there's Ben Jones and Quan. I don't think there's been anything necessarily new, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if Ben Jones wound up on the Jets site. I imagine he has, you know, there's not many. Connor McGovern and Ben Jones are pretty much the only centers left. Rodney Hudson, I believe, is retiring. I just saw somebody ask that. So you have Connor McGovern and you have Ben Jones. John Feliciano just signed with the 49ers. So there's only two centers. So any team that needs centers, they're considering those two guys in the draft. So I wonder if the Jets are trying to get Ben Jones for maybe cheaper than they would have at the beginning of the offseason or something like that. But it makes a lot of sense if he's in a good place. I know he had some concussions last year, which is always scary. But yeah, I mean, I add Ben Jones to that trio. If you walk away from this and you have a Pro Bowl center, he was a Pro Bowler last year, even though you missed some time. You have Odell Beckham, you have Aaron Rodgers. That's a threesome that Jets fans would have taken any day of the week.
As far as the quiet offseason so far to free agency, one thing you have to remember is like some of the best teams in the NFL who are consistently good teams don't make the big splash in free agency, right?
Totally.
They make the smarter moves later. So
yeah,
I don't know if I'm willing people, to give people this forget team that benefit of the doubt, but
yeah. people forget even like with the contract, like, oh, I can't believe you overpaid that guy. Oh, this year has been crazy because the contracts have all been like less than anybody expected. But usually in order to get a free agent, you have to overpay them. Like that's just the nature of free agency. And there's some guys that, you know, are surprising that like Alan Lazard is probably, you know, relative to what he's done in his career is maybe looks like he's overpaid on paper, but when you're a free agent, you have to pay more to get a guy so you don't miss out on him. If he's somebody you feel like you need to have, you know, we've talked about Howie on this pod. I think nobody's probably the Eagles and the Chiefs have done the best with free agents over the years, where they're willing to spend on guys, but a lot of times they do it on like 1 year deals, or if like they feel like they're close to a Super Bowl, you fill in your holes with guys that can contribute, or you sign guys that are, you know, in the like 26 to 29 range, and you get them at before they have their breakout season, and so you're getting them not below market but at a good price, and then as they get better and they hit their prime, then you have them at a good price, and you can either get a comp pick for them later or you re-sign them. So I think that's the way to go. The Jets have, you know, they had so much money the last couple of years, they kind of had to spend it somewhere. There's a lot, some of it's worked out. Like a guy like DJ Reed is like, that's like an ideal free agent. He was 26 or 27 at the time they signed him, and you have him for a couple of years and he looks like one of the 10 best corners in the league, which is even better than they could have expected. So I think their patience in free agency has been smart, especially this year when you see all the numbers. Like, I imagine if they do sign Ben Jones, fans are going to be very happy with the number that they sign him at, because yeah, I don't think it's going to be very high.
And it has to be low at this point, right? Because you still got to get that trade done. We should finish there with, or get to that, the second round pick,
yeah,
right? What, and there's been some of this in the chat, but where does the second round pick go? Somebody said they should trade the 2 second round picks to move up to the first round again. But it feels like at least one of those second round picks has to go to Green Bay, right? Because we've said it, you don't want to give up the first rounder.
Yeah.
So like, is it one of these seconds so that you can keep one, or do they send both to Green
Bay? That's the interesting part about this. I don't really have a good read on it. I do know the Packers do want a first round pick, and that's probably been the stalemate so far. So on one hand, I could see the Jets did the second round pick because it's another second round pick to give up in addition to whatever future picks. Or they look at it like, okay, we have 2 seconds. If we trade our first to the Packers, whether it's just the first straight up for Rodgers, or it's first for Rodgers and they get a pick back also, or like something like that, we have enough. It wouldn't be hard for us to move into the first round if there's a guy that we really want, because we have 2 seconds now. We have, you know, picks in future years. We have our fourth round pick. They don't have their third right now, obviously, because they just traded it to the Browns. But I think it allows them to do more. At the very least, it allows them to get a little more creative in those Rodgers talks. So I'm sure the Packers' ears perked up a little bit. I had heard, you know, there was initially some rumors that the Packers wanted, like rumors floating around the league that the Packers wanted Elijah Moore. And I had heard that that actually was like unfounded. I don't think they were that really all that interested in Elijah, at least as like,
now we know,
as a replacement for like a second round pick or something. I think the second round pick is more valuable to them than Elijah Moore, I think.
Is it possible, because we keep talking about like Corey Davis, so go to Green Bay or whatever. Is it possible that the Packers don't want a player? They just want picks.
Yeah,
and that's the stalemate. Like, we don't want a player. We want the first round pick.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, Corey Davis has next to no value in this deal. Honestly, that'd probably just be more like, we're cutting him anyway. Do you want him? Because,
right,
you know, why would the Packers?
You can have him rather than sign.
Like, instead of somebody else being able to sign him instead of like, but I don't know that the Packers want him at the cap that he's at or whatever. But you know, he has a relationship with Matt LaFleur. He'd be a good veteran receiver to have for Jordan Love and all that. So I think it makes a lot of sense in that regard. But I don't think there's value in Corey Davis in the trade. And I don't know if there's value in Denzel Mims either. And those are the only two they would really consider, since Elijah's not an option. I didn't even think they would trade Elijah before. I thought he was going to be a part of this team. So, that could be a sticking point. Or maybe they're asking for players the Jets don't want to give up. Like, you know, Packers need a tight end. Maybe they would ask for Jeremy Rucker. I know the Jets like Jeremy Rucker quite a bit. Like, I don't think they would hold up a trade for Aaron Rodgers for Jeremy Rucker. But my point being, like, if they want players, maybe it's not the players the Jets are offering them. Like, I'm sure the Packers have aimed high.
Yes.
And you know what I mean by high is like Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson, and the Jets were like, all right, I'm going to hang up on you and then we'll talk again later. I think the main sticking point is the Jets are like, why would we give up a first? We can wait this out. You needed this done by the draft. And I think that you've seen a lot of argument and debate, and I'm tired of talking about leverage. But ultimately, at least through now in the draft, the Jets have the leverage. Like, I think that's a fact.
It should be stated that in the Athletic mock draft by the beat writers, you did not give up a first-round pick to Matt Schneidman.
I did not. I should, as a teaser, tomorrow I have a fun story with Matt coming out, where we got exclusive access to a Slack conversation between Joe Douglas and Brian Gutenkost. I'm playing Joe, he's playing Brian. We kind of played out the trade negotiations and we came to an agreement, and we'll see how fans think about how I did. But we had a little fun with it because we were tired of waiting for this trade to happen. We needed something to write about. Elijah Moore trade hadn't happened yet. I joked to Matt, like, of course, I'm guessing the Rodgers trade will happen tonight now that we have that publishing tomorrow. But so, yeah, look out for that. But yeah, so I mean, right now it's all, I feel like there's been progress now that this trade happened. I feel like the Jets probably would have brought up that this was in the works in their conversations with Green Bay, or at the very least, it's coming up now. So, yeah, I don't know. I was hoping it'd be wrapped. I'm flying out to Arizona a little early because I lived out there for a while. My little brother's out there. Owners meetings are next week. I was hoping the trade would be done by the time I flew out, but maybe now they'll hash it out, you know, by the pool at the Biltmore in Phoenix. And then as I joked with Matt in our thing tomorrow, then they could go and get a drink together at the bar by the pool or whatever. So, celebrate with a margarita or something.
All right. Well, it's going to be interesting. I guess we will get back to this podcast when we were originally going to do it, which is when you get back, right, from your trip to Arizona.
You just locked in something notable happening in tomorrow. 48 hours.
Tomorrow. Yeah. Tomorrow's bad for me, but Friday we can.
All right. I'll let Joe Douglas know.
Yeah. If you want to read that story that Zach just teased and you don't already have $1. A subscription to The Athletic, you can do it. And get this. This is because of opening day for baseball, free agency, and the draft for the NFL. So many exciting things happening that we are gifting you $1 a month right now at The Athletic. $1 a month. Usually, if I'm right, I feel like that usually only comes around Black Friday, right, leading up to the holidays.
Yeah, not many times a year.
Yeah, so get on that. $1 a month for 12 months. Go to theathletic.com/can't wait. And please subscribe to the YouTube channel if you're watching us on YouTube or wherever you listen to the podcast. Give us a subscription. Give us a 5-star review, too. Those pay off. Those help us out. So do that. And hey, if you're watching this, it's really easy to hit the thumbs up button. So do that as well. I got all that out of the way. And I think we are good. For Zach Rosenblatt and Marissa Dunn, I'm Tim McMaster. Thanks, as always, for tuning in to the Can't Wait Podcast.